everybody doing? This is Larry Goins. What's happening?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Hi, Larry.
Awesome, awesome. I'm doing good. I hope you guys are doing good. And it's been a little while since I've been on. I've been traveling a lot, but I'm glad to be back. And I see we got quite a few people on the line. So got some new people on as well. So welcome, congratulations, and welcome aboard. We're excited to have you. And I can't wait to start hearing about your success stories. So if it's your first time joining us, I leave the lines open. I don't mute the lines. Everybody's very respectful. Ask a question or two and then give somebody else a shot. And if if it winds down or there's another opening, just jump in there and ask another question. So with that, I'll say, who would like to ask the first question? Don't everybody jump in at once.
Hello?
Hey. Anybody have a question you want to jump in with? A deal you're working on, a question you have, something you're wondering about, anything?
Yes, Larry, I do. This is Melanie from Florida.
Hey, Melanie, how are you?
Can you go back and review some of the steps with selling a note, how you calculate that?
Yeah, whenever you're selling a note, okay, let's say you bought a property for, say, $30,000. Let's say you sold it for $69,900 with owner financing, and you got $5,000 down. So now you have a $64,900 note, and let's say it's 9% for 20 years, and that's going to give you a payment of $583.92 a month. And so basically, whenever you calculate the yield, and let's say that you are talking to your note buyer, and your note buyer says, I need a 12% yield. I want to earn 12% return on my money. So what you do is you plug everything into the calculator, 64.9, 20 years, 9%, and then figure for the payment, which will give you $583.92 a month. And then without clearing anything out of your financial calculator, you're going to plug 12% in to the interest rate. You change the interest rate from 9 to 12, and then you push the PV button or present value, and it figures the discount amount, not the amount of discount, but it figures the amount that a person would pay or invest to be able to earn a 12% yield. And at 12%, it's going to be around $53,000, I believe. $53,033, something like that.
Okay, gotcha.
So it'll be around $53,000. And then if you want to figure it for, say, another yield, all you got to do is change it again. Like, let's say, you know, you got somebody else that says, hey, I'll buy it, but I want a 15% return. So you change the 12 to a 15% on the interest, and then you push the PV button again, present value, and it'll change it to what you would sell the note for at a 15% yield, which would be around $44,344, roughly. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yes, it does.
Awesome, awesome. And there's some really good YouTube videos that will show you how to use a financial calculator if that's something you need help with.
Okay.
Awesome. Good. Do you have a note you're selling?
Well, it's in the negotiations right now. I purchased the house. It's closing on the 13th for $27,000 and sold it for $85,000.
Good. I think you email me about that.
Yes, and I want to sell the note on it, and I'm trying to figure out how to do the paperwork.
Right. Well, depending, where is the property located?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay. So you could either use a local attorney, okay,
mm-hmm.
a local real estate attorney, and they could do your land contract for you if you're doing it on land contract. Is the house livable?
Yes.
Is it what we would call fit and safe?
Yes.
Okay. I would suggest that you probably do a lease option instead of a seller finance, because if they default, it's going to be much easier to get them out and start over again if you do a lease option versus a land contract.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Especially for your first one, because if someone's going to default, as a general rule, they're going to default within the first 12 to 24 months. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Right.
Good, good. Well, that's good. That should help you.
So that should, we should do a lease option versus a land contract.
Personally, I would if I were you.
Okay.
If I were you, I would. If the house is fit and safe, in other words, you can enter into a landlord-tenant relationship, and the code enforcement's not going to go over and say, you can't rent this house like it is. It needs heat, it needs wiring, it needs plumbing, you know, or whatever. As long as that's not the case, then I would do a lease option.
Okay, gotcha.
Awesome, awesome. Who else has a question?
Now, Larry, you were just saying, this is Michael McCarr here in Florida.
Hey.
Now, you was just saying you, instead of her doing a land contract, to do a lease option.
Right.
Okay, so on a lease option, you suggest maybe 2 years, 3 years on a lease option compared to a land contract?
You could do two or three, or you could do one or two. I wouldn't go out too far, right? I usually like to do mine 1 or 2 years. That way it gives enough time for the crazy to come out, you know, if it's somebody you want to get rid of or that they're going to act crazy on you. And also, if they're going to default, they're going to default within the first 1 to 2 years.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking that if you do a lease option, 2 to 3 years, that, you know, that would kind of give them a chance to build up some equity areas that they can have a down payment on the property.
Not necessarily that, but it'll give them some time to build up a good pay history with you.
Okay.
And then if you decide you want to sell the property, you could sell it as a turnkey, or you could then convert it to a land contract and sell the note, because it now has what's called seasoning. They've paid on time for a year or two.
Okay.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Good. Okay, I do that. I was thinking about looking into probably doing something like that, but, you know, maybe 3 years. That way that would give them a chance to build up a good payment, down payment on the property. But since you said 2 years would be good enough, okay. All right. Thank you. Hello?
I think Larry dropped off the call.
What happened?
Yeah, it sounds like we lost Larry.
Larry?
Hey, it's Larry. I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Good.
But I'm back. So did that answer your question about the lease option?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good, good, good.
Yeah.
I'm
Thank
glad,
you.
I'm glad. Awesome. Anybody else have a question?
Yes, I have a question.
Good.
Hi. I got a call, I guess it was from one of your companies, I guess, that you refer to the Inner Circle students. It's about how to set up the LLCs and trust accounts. It was called Prime.
Right, right.
Do you remember the name of the company? I forgot the rest.
Yeah, it's Prime Corporate Services. Yeah, they help our students with, you know, if the student needs something like entity structuring or asset protection or,
mm-hmm.
Or estate planning or even tax planning, they do that.
Okay. Yeah. And then also, I do have a property that's under contract that I got from HUD. We're in the process of getting the signs out to put them out into the area because we're not from there. Now, I want to possibly put the home on Craigslist to advertise it, but I don't think it's a good idea, or maybe it's more so because I'm nervous. Would you recommend to go for it or just not put the home on Craigslist in that area for the house that is for sale at?
Well, here's the deal. You don't mm-hmm. want HUD's asset manager or the listing agent coming down on you because you're marketing the property before you own it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So did you go straight with the listing agent to make your offer or do you have a buyer's agent?
I have my own buyer's agent.
Good. You don't want the listing agent coming down on, or HUD coming down on your buyer's agent either, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what we do is we'll send it out to our buyer's list.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also put signs out, but no address.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't put them in front of the yard of the house. We put them
right.
everywhere else. But mm-hmm. we put out, you know, 25 or 30 signs. And then we also put out we also put ads on Craigslist, but
mm-hmm.
we don't use the same picture that's in the MLS. We'll take it
right.
from a different angle.
Okay. Well, we actually sent someone out to go take pictures of the home, and we got those back.
Good.
I think we got them back, it was sometime last week.
Well, just put a couple of pictures in there, but make sure it's different pictures or different angle than what's on the MLS.
Right.
Because you don't want them, you know, especially if you're using their pictures to market the property. They don't that at all. Yeah, they get tore up about that. We got busted a couple weeks ago, and they gave us a hard time about it. But, you know, they just, you know, hey, we're going to report you to HUD. You can't do this, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, no.
So that's all it was, really. But just make sure, you know, that you're not advertising. Don't put the address in your ads or anything, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, we just got the signs back. They're pretty simple. It just says, for sale by owner, call the number. We're supposed to ship them out tomorrow, and,
uh-huh.
we'll give the person the details.
Where did you get them from?
We went to we compared it to the site that you gave us, and then to another one. It was called Signs on the Cheap. They were having a 40% off sale, so
uh-huh.
they were a little cheaper. And then they also came with more stakes.
Okay.
So we got 50 signs and 50 stakes instead of 50-25. So
good.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you so much on that. I'll definitely try to look into that. And then
you're very welcome. Let me know how it goes, okay?
All right.
And congratulations on that deal. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's great. Yeah, we got people doing deals out there. That's awesome. So who's next?
Well, I guess I'll jump in here. Larry, this is Paula Brock from Fort Worth.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. I'm great. I'm excited about coming out there next week. Going to be there on Monday. And you were talking a few minutes ago about the financial calculator, and I noticed you using that when you were here. Is there a brand that you recommend, and should I have one before I come to see y'all next week?
You don't have to have one before you come to the office. I'm going to show you here. I'm going to demo one that's online when you come to my office.
Okay.
So anybody can use it. But I prefer an HP 12C. That's a Hewlett-Packard 12C. It's been around for probably 30 or 40 years. And they've enhanced it, you know, some. But you can buy, you can even buy, do you have a smartphone?
Yes.
Okay. It's an iPhone, right?
Yes.
Good. Well, that is a smartphone. So, yeah, you can download the app for HP 12C.
Oh, okay.
Yep, there's an app.
I'll definitely look into that then. Okay, great, thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Now, it's going to be a little expensive. I think it was like 12 or 14 bucks. But hey,
oh, my gosh, I'm not sure I can afford that. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll make it work.
I hear you.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Who's next? Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry. It's Gary Nixon from Fort Worth, too.
Hey.
Being in this area, what is the best way to find a real estate agent that would work with me on the HUD? And finding a, you know, one that has the NAID number and is willing to, to let me place bids on the homes.
Right. Have you gone through the HUD training yet? In the course, my HUD agent talks about that and how to find a local HUD agent. Have you gone through that yet?
No, I haven't gone through that yet.
Okay. All right, so it's in there, but also, here's what we do. Every house you call about, okay, has an agent attached to it. So you ask that agent, and if they're not interested, like some of them are going to say, I only deal with sellers, I only list properties. So then you can ask them to refer you to a good buyer's agent in their office.
Okay.
And most agents also have access to an NAID number already, you know, especially through their company. So what you can do is anytime you're calling about an MLS property, all you got to do is ask them, hey, I'm interested in putting in some HUD bids too. Would you be interested in working with me?
Okay. That sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, try that. But you'll have to talk to a few. They're not going to give you their NAID number right off the bat.
Right. Okay.
As long as you realize that, you got to build a little bit of relationship with them.
That makes sense.
Not a whole lot, but a little bit anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope that helped.
Absolutely.
Good. Who else has a question?
Hey, Larry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, great. I was having trouble before. But anyway, this is Ashef Subanab in Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to figure out a way to do Filthy Riches deals. We got one house under contract, and the purchase price is around $32,000. And as I recall, on this one, we thought the ARV was going to be right at 90. And it's in fairly decent condition. We're going to lock that down and make sure there's nothing to prevent it. But I have a transactional funding source, but they also have an option where I could keep the money like 90 days or something like that. You know, it's a fairly high rate, but I was thinking if I could set up a note and pay off the underlying $30,000 that it costs to purchase the house.
Right.
Have you seen where you can get that much from a down payment for if you set up a note with a buyer?
So you're talking about buying it for 30, you're going to sell it for, did you say 90?
We thought the R was around 90, just looking at comps. I wouldn't sell it for that much, say maybe 60.
With owner financing?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, well, if the comps are 90, especially if you're owner financing, then there's no reason to sell it for less than that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Now, yeah, sure it does. I was just thinking speed up the sale.
Well, I could, no. They're buying down payment and per month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're wholesaling it or going to wholetail it, you know, where you're going to cash out, then, yeah, sell it for 60 if mm-hmm. the comps are really 90. But if you're going to owner finance it, sell it right at the top of the market, you know, at the retail value, okay?
Okay.
So let's say you sold it for 90. Are you asking me if I think you could get $30,000 down?
Right, because I need to pay off the funding source is like the transactional lender. So, you know, it's not like the normal interest rate. So I want to get out of that as quickly as I can.
Okay. All right. So first thing is I don't think you're going to be able to get the $30,000 from the down payment because that would be 30%, 33% actually, down payment. And usually you can expect to get a minimum of 5%. Maybe 10%, okay?
Uh-huh.
Like when I sell a house for $69,900, I usually end up getting realistically about $5,000 to $7,000 down.
Okay.
Yeah, which is more than 5, you know, and sometimes up to 10%. Yeah. And but if you're going to get your financing for 90 days, you're going to need to have your note buyer lined up to be able to buy this deal from you. Do you have any note buyers lined up?
I can get some lined up.
Well, that's a big thing you need to do because I see people get stuck with notes because they don't have any note buyers. You need passive investors that you can sell these notes to.
Okay, so that's how you would deal – I'm sorry – So that's how you would deal with the $30,000 then?
Yeah. In other words, you know, let's say you sold it for 90, you might get, let's say you get $7,000 or $8,000 down. I mean, you might get more. You're always going to ask for more. But, you know, realistically, selling it for 90, you're probably going to get $6,000 to $8,000 down.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you get $8,000 down. Well, you still need to sell that note or at least a partial of the note to get, you know, your money back and some profit probably now, and then you could keep the back end of the note. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, exactly what I was thinking because I was trying to get over the hump. How do I get rid of that underlying loan and not get stuck paying that portion, yeah.
Right, right. Good. Yeah, you need to be able to sell this note. So you got to actively be looking for note buyers. You don't want to get stuck with the note.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
I don't think you covered the list where to find some note buyers. Is
In your Filthy Riches course, I have a note buyers directory. But
those
are primarily institutional buyers like Boston Note or First National Acceptance, some of those. But what you really want to do is find individuals that have retirement accounts and they're tired of the stock market or they're getting 1%, 2%, 3%, 4% at the bank or in mutual funds, and then show them how they can earn, you know, 10% to 12% secured by real estate. And go to your local RIA group meetings. Search for custodians at the courthouse. Find people who own IRAs that are self-directed based on the custodian's name that are doing deals, and then send them a postcard.
Got it.
There you go. Good. Good. I hope that helped.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Who else has a question?
I have a ton of them, Larry, but I feel like crap. I'm going to close out.
Oh, well, I hope you feel better.
Okay.
All right. You have a good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, I got a question. What is when you say comp, what is that comp?
A comparable sale. It's just short for comparable, C-O-M-P, comp. It's just short for a comparable sale. In other words, what other similar houses are selling for in the area.
Okay, so what I need to go online and try to see what, I guess, what's that
Yeah, you can
website.
Go, here's what I always recommend. Just Google the address, okay? Type in the address,
mm-hmm.
Google, and about the second link that's going to show up is probably Zillow. The first one's going to be the street, the map.
Okay.
The second one's going to be Zillow, and then click on Zillow, and then scroll to the bottom where it says neighborhood. Click on that, zoom out a little bit, and you'll see other houses around it and what they've sold for.
So you say Google it first, right? The address?
Yeah. Yeah, just Google it, because you're going to not only go to Zillow, but you're going to go to Trulia and Realtor.com and look at the street view and drive the street and some other stuff. So that's the reason I just say Google it. You could go to Zillow and type in the address, but Zillow is just one of several sites that you want to look at when doing your research.
Yeah, because I saw a property today, and it has a red sign on the door, and you know, the yard need to be, the grass need to be cut around and everything, but it's like a duplex.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to look at that and see can I find the owner, get some information on it.
Good. That's good. That's good.
Okay.
Yeah, look it up at the courthouse and see who owns it.
Okay, but it should be on Zillow.com, right?
It could be, but, you know, worst
okay.
case scenario, look it up on at the Register of Deeds for whatever county it's in.
Okay. Okay.
And find out who owns it. Good, good. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Sure, no problem, no problem. Anybody else have a question?
Oh, yeah. Larry, this is Sarah. How are you?
What's happening?
Hey, good. Hey, I was wondering, last time I did ask you for the updated for the HUD automator, because the old didn't work for me. I'm not sure if you have the new version done.
Have you?
Because I think HUD did change a lot of stuff on the website, and the old version doesn't work anymore.
Have you logged in to your HUD course yet?
I can check on it right now.
Logged
Is it
into your HUD course? Because we just uploaded it there this week.
Oh, okay. Let me check.
I've got a brand new analyzer, not analyzer, but a spreadsheet for HUD, and this thing is the bomb. I paid a guy $4,000 to create this spreadsheet. And you don't even have to go out to HUD and export the list and then import it. All you got to do is set it up in advance, and there's a short video tutorial that shows you how to do it. And then all you got to do is push a button, and it goes out to HUD Home Store. It looks up your properties. It exports the list, and it imports it in the spreadsheet for you.
Really? Okay. So everything about HUD, because I bought the course from you.
Yeah, yeah. That should it should be. I don't care if you even got the book. You get the spreadsheet. So even if you have a book, just log into your bonuses for the book and there it is. Or
oh, the bonuses?
Or for the mastery.
Okay, hold on. So, okay, right now I'm in the website, and you say it's on the bonuses?
Yeah, it's for the, like, the HUD book.
Oh, the HUD.
It'll be for the
okay.
spreadsheet. There should be about three video training videos there, too.
Okay, I have the...
You check it out, and if you don't see it, look around.
Oh, I see it, the free customized spreadsheet.
Yeah, that should be it.
Oh, and then below that, there's two... Okay, let me... And then you said there are training videos?
Yeah, there should be about three training videos there by a guy named Howard, English guy. He's from Europe. And if that's not the one that's uploaded and that's not the videos, you email me and let me know, because Jeff in my office was supposed to put those on the website last week.
Oh, because right now I see the link to download the spreadsheet, but I only see one video, and that's from you. I'm not sure if that's the most updated one.
Oh, okay. I'll ask him tomorrow.
So you said the training video is below the download.
I don't know. I haven't been to the web page, so I'm not sure where he would have put it.
Okay.
But I'll ask him.
Okay, so you said the spreadsheet will download everything and will have training videos and
the spreadsheet will go out to HUD's website and download the list for you. You don't have to manually do it. But there's videos that show you how to set that up.
But how about, like, the updates? Like, for example, like, if I go back the next day to download the difference, like, the updated one?
Well, it's not an update. It's a whole new spreadsheet.
Okay.
Spreadsheet.
Oh, the whole new spreadsheet. Okay, right now my problem is, because every time I submit a bid to HUD, and the next day, I'm kind of getting confused which one I submitted, which one I didn't, and I need to keep track of the price I submit. So I'm not sure if this spreadsheet will help me with that.
What the spreadsheet will help you do is keep track of your HUD bids. That's the whole purpose of it.
Okay. Well, let me try to download it first and try to play with it, and then I'll email you.
Okay, that sounds good. Just let me know.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, it's Gary.
Hey.
I know that Texas isn't very lease option friendly with the 6 months, but how could I find out on some of the surrounding states what the laws are? What's the best source for that, like Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas?
Best thing is to Google it, but you could also ask like a local investors association. They typically know. Or also ask a local closing attorney that does real estate closings. They should know as well.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Hey, anybody else got a question? Anybody else?
Well, how about a comment about the HUD spreadsheet?
Sure.
I was going to kind of plus one, the lady that was talking about tracking the bids and figuring out how much did I bid last time on this property, that's the exact kind of same issue I was having, and tracking counter bids. So I'm looking forward to using the spreadsheet because, you know, you can do it, say, if you're bidding on, say, five properties, but we want to ramp up and bid on a couple hundred every day. So it gets hard to track them.
Well, this HUD spreadsheet will track them, It's got your notes in there. It shows you exactly what you bid. Also, you set up an email address just for the HUD bids, and then whenever you get a counter or an acceptance, the emails go right in there, and it can pull the data from there, and you can keep track with exactly what's going on with your HUD bids.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah,
looking forward.
Yeah, it's $4,000 great.
And let me have another question. So what CMA do you use to track, like, the potential investor cash buyers and potential sellers?
What do you mean, what CMA do I use?
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, CRM, like, you know.
Oh, okay. We use Podio. We have our own Podio that we set up that I hired some guys to come to my office and spend a week with me. And they created our own Podio, and it integrates with our website. Like when a seller lead comes in, the seller lead comes in through our website, and then it creates a contact record in Podio, and we can listen to the voicemail through Podio, and then it creates a task for whoever is in the role of acquisition manager for FSBOs, for sell by owners, and then they call them and qualify them, and then they can buy it over the phone or set an appointment to go out. Same thing with our buyer leads. Our buyer leads go right into Podio as well, and it creates a task for our sales rep to call them and show them the property. We don't not physically show them the property, but tell them about the property and send them out to the address to look at it.
So are you selling that software?
Say that again.
Are you selling that software?
We have started selling it. We have. We really just now released it like a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't even really done a launch with it yet, but we are selling it. And one of my guys in the office, your ad consultant, do you know who you're working with in my office? Was it Dean or Ron or David?
I spoke with Dean before.
Dean, okay, if you'll call Dean tomorrow, he'll tell you all about it, because we're doing like a pre-launch for all of our current students, and he'll give you a really good deal on it.
Okay. What's the name of the software?
We call it Simple Podio, but if you don't have websites yet, tell him you want Podio and the websites, and you can get both of them, and they're already... We'll integrate it for you, so everything, you know, mashes up, and your website leads go straight into Podio for you, just like.
So, how many websites can you link to?
You can link to as many as you want, but we give you three.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the package comes with the three.
The package comes with three, yes.
And then if I need link more, do I
tell you all about that? But if you need more, just let us know, and we can add more.
Got it. Thank you so much. And how about the website? I mean, does the website come with a standard design, or is some kind of template?
We've got multiple templates. We have, and I'll give you out some of my websites so you can look at it. But we have templates we use to wholesale properties. That's like our investorsrehab.com website. And we have templates to seller finance properties, and that's like my neighborhoodhousing.org website. And then we have websites to, if you want to make hard money loans, like our website, Carolina Investor Loans. And then if you want to just attract motivated sellers, like my website, LarryBuysHouses.com.
Do you have any website for, like, lease option?
Yes. That's, like, neighborhoodhousinggroup.org.
Oh, okay. So the template that's available, it's, like, you know, like, so if I just go to those websites you just mentioned, that's what the student's website will look like?
That's exactly right. Plus, it's totally customizable. You can change the text. You can add pages to it. For example, like, I recruit sign jockeys to go out and put signs, Mm-hmm. And if you go to signjockeys.com, that's a page that I created, and I did it myself. I'm not a technical person, but I created that page myself to advertise on my Craigslist ads to recruit sign jockeys.
So is what the website www.signs with the S or with no S? Signs?
No, sign, S-I-G-N. JOCKEYS.com.
Oh, it's OCKEYS. Oh.
Right, Sign Jockeys. And that's just a page on my website that I created to attract people to put signs out for me.
Wow, that's a good URL.
It is, huh?
Yeah, you're lucky you got it.
No, I think it's because I made up the term, you know.
Oh, it's really good.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you're on here. I hadn't heard from you in a while.
Website. So does it send out like text blast and voice blast from your web from the podium?
Yes, you can do that. You can also text message with your people, with your buyers or your sellers or vendors. And you can change the roles, like if somebody, if you have a virtual assistant and then you have to fire them and hire somebody else, you can just change the roles and you don't have to worry about going back and looking up everything that was in their name. It's just the role, the person who is in that role of acquisition or sales or closing or marketing the property or accounting or team leader or whatever. The role changes, not the person. So it's very easy to operate. Like I say, we call it Simple Podio because when I was talking to my guys, I've been using Podio about 4 or 5 years now. But my,
wow.
My other Podio, it was so complicated, nobody would use it. We wouldn't keep up with it. So I had these guys come in and I said, whatever you do, make it simple. And every day I kept saying, make it simple. Is this simple? Yeah, this is great, but is it simple? Because I want people to use it, not only have it and it do everything, but also to use it. And they set it up. In fact, when they started showing me the demo, they named it Simple Podio, and the name just stuck.
I have a question for this Podio. Can the VA send out like offers for MLS listings?
Yeah, the VA can do that. Now, there's several different ways to do that, okay? You can do it in Podio, but I was going to try to put in the regular realtor agreement.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's got every state is different, and mm-hmm. there's so many pages. So what we do ourselves, we just do it through DocuSign or Write Signature.
Oh,
yeah, but that right there will also, it will sync with Podio and populate your offer to purchase for you.
And that's what, that's integrated for the Simple Podio?
Right.
Wow. Do you have any video to talk about your, talk about Simple Podio that you can email me?
Well, no, I don't. I've only presented it at a couple of my three-day events. And but I'm in the process of putting together a webinar to launch it.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. But Dean can tell you all about it.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, Larry. So website, how much is it to set up the website?
It depends on if you get one or three of them, and it depends on if you need Podio too. Do you have a CRM?
No, what's that?
Well, that's where you keep track of all your leads and your deals and all that stuff. So you need a website and you need Podio. You need all of it together. And Podio by itself is going to be $1,500, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And the websites by themselves is one website is $497, and three websites is $797, and then you got a monthly fee as well. But this pre-launch, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's $897 for both during the pre-launch. Because we're trying to get some users out there on it and get some feedback and some testimonials. So it would be $897 up front for both of them, plus the monthly.
Well, how much is the monthly?
The monthly, it depends on if you have just websites or you have websites and Podio. It can be anywhere from $97 to $197 to $297.
Okay, so you already have.
But Dean can tell you more about
that. So you already have a website?
Say that again?
I'm sorry. So if you already have a website, you say you could just go ahead and add that to it?
If you already have a website, you could get Podio. But if you have your own website and it's not one of ours, you are going to have to either connect it to Podio or you're going to have to hire someone to do it. But if you get our Podio and our website, we're going to connect everything for you.
Okay.
And make sure, we're going to make sure if somebody goes to your website and they opt in as a motivated seller to say, to tell you about their property, we're going to make sure that that lead goes right into Podio for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll set all that up. And we pay, we have like three or four different services like Globeflow and Zapier and some of the other ones that have to, that use API to sync everything together. And that's what we use. So that's part of what you're paying for, not only software updates and hosting and all that, but for that back-end service that syncs everything together.
Okay.
We even set it up for you to where if you put a number on your bandit signs, they call that number, it automatically records your voicemail, and then it creates a contact record in Podio so you can listen to the voicemail in Podio, and it creates a task for your acquisition person to call that seller back.
Okay.
And all that's set up for you. If you get our website and our Podio, that's all that is set up for you.
Okay. Aren't you getting to have a 3-day event in Florida?
We're going to have a 3-day in Orlando in December, the first week of December.
Okay. The first weekend in December?
I believe it is, yes. But right now we're promoting our Charlotte 3-day coming up the end of this month.
Oh, okay. So the end of this month, I have to look on the calendar to see what day it is. Okay. All right, thanks.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
Oh, yeah, I have a question. I remember from I checked out one of your webinars, you're talking about, like, trying to make offers from those bank, like, you know, those asset managers.
Right.
How do you go about talking to them and build a relationship with them first and check out the inventory? Do you just go online? I know you have a list of all the REO links, so how do you approach it, I mean, step by step?
Yeah, but you have to, when you're buying bank-owned properties, unless you're buying them in bulk, which I do not recommend, then you must deal with through the listing agent. It takes a little while longer for the property to get to market, but the bottom of the barrel is what is the bulk properties, and that's when you're dealing directly with the asset manager. Otherwise, there's no reason for you to even talk to the asset manager. They won't deal with you anyway. They're going to refer you to their agent.
Okay.
And the only time you would deal directly with the asset manager is if you were buying in bulk, and I don't recommend buying in bulk because you get a quit claim deed. There may be back taxes, liens, judgments, and code violations, and that's not the case whenever you're buying through an agent one at a time.
So when you're buying from agent one at a time, do they give you a clear title?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Unless it states otherwise in the listing.
Yeah, actually, I check out this website called Realty Track, and sometimes I see there's a lot of shadow inventories. Do you ever, I mean, can you buy those shadow inventories at all, or can you contact the agent?
Well, shadow inventory might be, it might be a short sale.
Oh.
It might be a short sale. It might be you could buy the note, a non-performing note. But, you know, shadow inventory is just properties that are delinquent that are either eventually going to be REOs or they're going to be, they're going to sell the note, or the people might refinance or be able to pay it off somehow. So most of them are coming to the market. Not all of them, but most of them will eventually make it to the market.
So have you have any experience of buying them before they come to the market?
No, because, well, I shouldn't say I haven't had experience. I've bought short sales, you know, and that's part of shadow inventory. And I've bought notes before, which is a part of shadow inventory. But for the most part, I'm just buying REO properties. I don't like dealing with short sales, and I don't like dealing with bulk purchases. And
okay.
I don't typically buy notes.
Okay. Oh, I have a question for the notes. I know you have a list of all the notes buyers, but typically were you able to sell them at like 12 to 15% discount? Or, I mean,
every note buyer is different. You just have to contact them with the note that you have, and then they will let you know that they will give you a price on the note. They'll price it for you.
Okay. So what's a good source usually?
A good source for what?
For no buyers.
Oh, look in the book. Look in the directory.
Okay.
It depends on your deal. The directory is going to give you a list of all the buyers of notes, and it tells you the state and what they're looking for, what kind of notes they're looking for.
So do you just, like, email blast to them, or do you just contact them one by one? Who do you contact?
It's got all their contact information in there, so you'll go to their website. Some of them have a submission on their website, and if they don't, you can just pick up the phone and dial their phone number.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Okay.
I hope that helped.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it helped.
Good, good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Tim in Asheville. How are you?
Good. How are you?
All right, all right. Keeping you up late, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, that's okay.
We did get an acquisitions manager hired, and we're getting started.
Good for you, man. I'm glad. That's awesome.
I know. We're really pushing through it. Just a few stupid questions, but that's what I got to have.
No, that's okay.
As far as initial offers that you're making to the realtors, how much below the maximum allowable offer should you start with? Because I'm sure you volley back and forth a few times. You don't want to run out of room.
You do, and I think it really just it's just based on experience and kind of how close you are or how far apart you are or how long the property's been on the market. You know, as an example, you know, if you're $50,000 apart and the property's been on the market for 15 days, you know, you're going to go as close to what you can pay as possible. There's no reason to start much lower because it's already a stretch trying to put the deal together anyway. Does that make sense?
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the longer it goes, the more desperate they get, so...
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. That's a good point.
Okay, all right. And then if you do happen to have a property where your estimate comes in actually over what they're listed as, is there a certain amount? Because there are some properties, I guess, you know, that are underpriced. But if you have one that's listed for $40,000, for $40,000 and you're coming in at $45,000, I know that your marketing says you really need to be able to advertise it below the listed price.
That's the key right there. Now, you know, it's not mandatory. I know guys that sell them, you know, above list, but it's a harder sell, and they're going to sit on it a little bit longer.
Sure. Well, and I was thinking, even if I came up with, say, 45 on one listed for 40, I should at least go 12,000 below list as a final offer, I guess.
That's a good point.
I figure you could come in, offer it at 35, and say I'm still five below the list price.
Uh-huh.
Or does that sound right to you? Or?
Yeah, it does. But like I said, it just kind of depends on how long has it been on the market, how motivated are they telling you that the seller is, and you know, just and a lot of it really is just kind of a gut feeling. You know,
sure.
I mean, you've been doing this a long time, so you get an idea. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. And you get that feeling of desperation. It becomes fairly clear fairly quickly. So.
Right. You can tell whether or not, you know, you're going to be able to work them down very much or not pretty quickly, like you said.
Well, and I had an owner financing one that we bought not long ago, and they owner financed like $45,000, and all at once she wanted her money now. You know how it goes.
Right.
And I said, well, I'll have to discount it $15,000 in order to pay you off early. Oh, I'll take that, you know. So the desperation's just, you know how it is. So.
That's true.
Okay.
You know, I got to tell you guys this, too. That works just as well the opposite direction as well. If you got seller financing with somebody, and let's say it's somebody that had not a lot of basis in their property, and they're seller financing it so they can take the installment sale, and let's say maybe they charged you 8 or 9%. Well, you could go to them and say, hey, look, I'm getting ready to refinance this loan, and I'm going to pay you off. And because you could go get a 4 or 5% loan at the bank, and then if they get paid off, they're going to pay taxes on all that gain. So they're motivated to renegotiate the interest rate down to match what you're able to get at the bank, so they don't get paid off. That's a really good tactic to use, especially if you know somebody's doing seller financing because they want to take the installment sale and save their money on taxes.
Okay. You never think of people actually not wanting the money.
Right. Yeah. But there are a lot of them out there that they, you know, they have hardly no basis in the property, and if they sold it for cash, they're going to pay a lot of taxes. Because they're really not going to reinvest it and do a 1031.
Oh, yeah. Well, and a lot of people are desperate for cash flow. They just love that.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Larry.
You're very welcome. I hope it helped.
Yeah, and I'll have more for you, I'm afraid.
That's good.
Okay.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Awesome. Anybody have a question? Sounds like somebody's grandfather clock is going off at 10 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I should have muted.
No, that's okay. You're good. Anybody else have a question? You guys have had a lot of good questions tonight. This is good. Anybody else have a question you want to jump in with?
Larry?
Yes.
This is Michael from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
What's what's going to be the difference between the event we attended, Diane and I, and the one in Charlotte you're working on?
Oh, you guys came to my office for.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys came to my office. Well, that event is our inner circle event. The 3-day is kind of an overview of all the different models. Like, we go over where to find deals, how to sell your properties, marketing, and due diligence, and automation and stuff like that. But it's just a 3-day. We call it a general assembly type event, and just an overview of a bunch of different topics. But you don't need to do that. You're past that.
Are you sure?
Yes. You're welcome to go if you want to. But
Can anyone attend?
Yes.
I mean, the inner circle people.
Yeah, you can attend. It's not a problem at all. Just call my guy and call one of my guys at the office, and they'll get you signed up if you want to attend.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay, awesome. Good. I hope that helped.
Yeah, it did.
Good. Anybody else have a question?
This is Tim again. I just wanted to say that I've been going through your new book, and it really does help support everything that you talk about in the seminars, because sometimes you need that, you know, as a secondary support. And it's very well done.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I worked really hard on getting that book ready, and it is an update to the original, and I tried to add stuff in there about, like, Podio and stuff like that. So I really do appreciate you saying that. That means a lot, and I'm glad you're getting a lot out of it. And sometimes it helps, too, just to hear something 2 or 3 different times.
Absolutely. Even at 1.5 speed, it works well. I'm not up to your speed yet, so.
That's funny. That's good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, anybody else got a question?
Hey, Larry, not a question, but I can't wait to see you next week at the Inner Circle.
Sounds good, man. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. It's going to blow you away.
I'm ready for it.
That's great. That is great. I'm looking forward to it also. We'll have a lot of fun. We got a really good team in our office. You'll enjoy it. Anybody else got a question? All right, going once. One twice. You guys know that you can always email me in between times, anytime you want to. Larry@LarryGoins.com. Just make sure you put Inner Circle in the subject line, and I'm here to help you any way I can. And I really appreciate you guys being on tonight. It was a great call with a lot of good people, good questions. So keep those success stories coming, and let me know if there's anything at all I can do to help you guys. And appreciate your business, and keep me updated on what's going on. And I hope everybody has a great night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Larry. Got a lot out of the call. Thanks.
Bye, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good night.
You too.